Born in 1592 in the Highlands of Scotland, and he is still alive. He is immortal. Constantly facing other immortals in combat to the death, the winner takes his enemy's head, and with it, his power. We know the truth about immortals. In the end, there can be only one. May it be Duncan MacLeod, the Highlander.
Here we are, born to be kings. We're the princes of the universe.
And welcome into Let's Watch Highlander. This is Let's Watch Highlander, Season 4, Episode 17, The Immortal Chimoli. And here to talk with you about it, as we are every week, I am Travis, a.k.a. TV's Travis, and that is Audie. And how are you this week, Audie?
I'm all right. It's been a day. I had a kid wake me up at like 2:30 last night, and been struggling ever since. It's like, have you ever had a really good sleep, and you get woken up from it, and it just doesn't work the rest of the night?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's like going for a run and all of a sudden you trip and fall down a hill and it's like you just don't get that momentum back.
Yep. I have been there. So I know that feeling quite well. That is a bummer. Hopefully that wears off and you get some good sleep tonight. Man, that's rough. Remember how I said last week, hey, summer is here. We skipped over spring and it's been 90 degrees. Yeah. It was like a high of 58 today. Our weather doesn't know what to do. I woke up and it was 30-something degrees. I spent all that time last week putting my air conditioner in the window and getting a fan in my window, and then I had to turn them off. So, you know, it is what it is. But it's been a good
Mother
week.
Nature, go home, you're drunk.
No doubt. We have had, well, we had last week a day with a 31-degree swing in temperature in 10 minutes.
Puh.
It went from 87 degrees to 56 degrees over the course of 10 minutes. Like just crazy. So, yeah, it happens around here. But, you know, it is what it is. The sun's been out, so I prefer the temperatures that we've had today over 90 degrees anyway. But
sure.
Yeah. So we have another pretty good episode. I did remember parts of this one. Not everything. There were aspects of it that I hadn't remembered, but I remembered kind of the basics of it, and it held up better than I thought. I thought it was a pretty good episode.
Yeah, this is one I didn't remember at all, but it's another one of those interesting ones that kind of plays with the immortality lore a little bit.
Yeah. Do you remember? I think it was in the first or second season. There was the episode with the guy from Spandau Ballet. Where he becomes an immortal and he thinks Avenging Angel was the title of it.
Okay.
And he becomes an immortal and then he thinks that he's supposed to fight the wicked, that he has become righteous.
Oh, yeah.
Until this watch through, I conflated that episode and this one. For some reason, I either forgot about Avenging Angel or I thought that Chimoli decided he had to fight people and it wasn't. Like, I was confusing those two episodes quite a bit. But yeah, I had a good time with this one. You know, I think before we talk about it too much, though, we have a Watcher Chronicle. We got to listen to it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
April 29th, 1996. Amanda convinced MacLeod to go with her to the circus today. I think her being around for him is a good thing. She's keeping him preoccupied and not letting him dwell too much on recent events. Well, that is until they got to the circus, anyway. First, she talked to the owner, Marco. He immediately tried to convince her to come back and be in the act. But that's not the interesting part. That was the new headlining act, the Immortal Chimoli. And it's not just a clever name. This guy's act is to walk out into the middle of the big top and get shot in the chest, and then stand back up as if nothing happened. That's bound to get a lot of attention, good and bad. He has to be a new immortal. I feel like we'd have heard at least a rumor about this kind of an act, or had someone on him already.
So Daniel Cimoli is sitting in his apartment. He's kind of wallowing in a little bit of self-pity. His mother arrives, asking him how his latest job interview went. He confesses that he didn't get the job, and she gets on his case and chastises him for not even going to the interview. But he wants to be a magician. He has his profession. He can't just have a normal job, because he's got to be ready for auditions. And his mother has just finally had enough. And she has a little bit of a fit and starts throwing all of his magic gear out the window of the second floor apartment that they're in Paris. And he gets upset. He goes outside to pick up his things. Of course, she starts to feel guilty, asking him to come back inside. She's got some tiramisu for him. He sort of gives her the look off, grabs his things, and he goes to get his hat out of the middle of the street when he gets hit by a truck.
Bam!
After the opening credits, we come back. He's waking up surrounded by a bunch of people, and they can't believe that he's moving and he's alive.
Mm-hmm.
His mother even thinks it's a miracle.
Right.
And he's rightly confused.
Mm-hmm.
We cut to Duncan and Amanda. They're at the circus. Cool thing about that is, if you remember, the first episode with Amanda was Duncan taking Tessa and Richie to the circus in Paris.
Right.
So I thought that was kind of a nice little callback.
Yeah.
As they're walking around and Amanda is reminiscing about the circus fondly, while Duncan is less fondly reminiscing.
yeah.
They run into the man that's leading all of it, Marco. He sees Amanda right away, and he immediately starts to try and convince her to come back to the circus by telling her that they're going to be playing in Moscow, and she has to go. So as long as they're there, Marco's like, well, you should check out my new headliner. And he points to a sign, and the sign is The Immortal Cimoli. That gets their attention.
A little on the nose.
Yeah. That gets their attention, so like, sure, let's go check it out. So they go into the big top, and the act starts, and they feel an immortal as soon as Daniel comes out. So they realize he's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And the act is very simple. It is Marco takes a gun, and he shoots Danny, and Danny then comes back to life. That's it.
Yeah.
Much to the chagrin of Duncan and Amanda. They're like, all right, we got to go have a talk with this boy.
Yeah. More chagrin on Duncan. Amanda's just like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Amanda's like, this is kind of in poor taste. And Duncan's like, all right, let's go talk to him.
Amanda has more against him doing it that way than him doing it at all.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, oh, you could, you know, she feels like it could be done better. And Duncan's like, why are you doing this? So they go and they talk to him. And they're trying to explain his immortality to him and the game and the fact that he needs to protect himself and learn how to fight and people are going to be coming for him. He's just thrilled that he could live forever and he could keep doing the tricks and do better tricks and become bigger than Houdini and all of this stuff, you know. And Duncan is trying to sort of temper some of that. But he's not doing a great job of explaining sort of a reason why. It kind of reminds us a little bit, it reminded me a little bit of when he was first starting to teach Richie.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like Duncan knows all this stuff, but he's bad at communicating it in a way that a young immortal would understand.
Yeah.
And he's pushing really hard. He's trying to train. There's a short scene of him trying to train Danny, like a day later or so. And Danny's, of course, distracted. He's supposed to do an appearance at a hospital for a bunch of sick kids who want to see the immortal Cimoli. And he's got all this stuff, you know, pulling him in different directions. And Duncan is laser focused on teaching him how to fight with a sword.
Right.
And so Danny leaves and Amanda is kind of like, well, why are you so dead set on teaching this kid? And then we get a flashback. Coming out of the flashback, Danny's in his trailer when he feels the presence of an immortal. He thinks it's McCloud. Mm-hmm. He heads on outside. And it's not. It's a man named Damon Case. And yes. Damon tells him in no uncertain terms, I am here to kill you.
Danny's just like, what?
And yeah.
But I just started.
Yep.
What?
Danny has no idea what's going on. Case pulls a sword. And luckily, a couple of the circus clowns happen to be wandering by. And so Danny gets their attention, which spooks Case enough that he takes off. But not before telling Danny, meet me tomorrow morning at... And he gives him a location. So Danny takes off and heads to the barge, where Amanda and Duncan are laying in bed and they're chatting. They're both kind of preoccupied. Duncan with what's going on with Danny, Amanda with the whole idea of going to Moscow in the circus.
Mm-hmm.
Danny shows up and he explains that an immortal came for him, gives the name of Damon Case, which perks up Mac's attention. And then we get another flashback. Coming out of that, Duncan explains that he never fought Damon Case in the past because Damon wasn't evil. There was a certain reverence to what he did, and it wasn't enough for Duncan to go after him, but Duncan's going to go try and talk to him for Danny. He wants to try to smooth things over. So he goes the next morning and tries to talk to Case. Case is having none of it. They're about to fight, and the police show up. And so they obviously run. And it was Danny that called them. Danny was called the police because he was worried about Duncan dying for him. Duncan's still trying to explain to him like how things work. Mm-hmm. And the big thing that Danny's hung up on is it's not so much that he's afraid to die. He doesn't want to kill anyone.
And right.
And Duncan's like, boy, you ain't got a choice.
Right.
Your choices are you learn how to fight and kill other immortals, or you go live as a monk for the rest of existence.
Mm-hmm.
And so Duncan tries to...
you die.
Yeah. Yep. That's option three. So Duncan is like, well, okay, you need to get out of town. You need to change your identity. You need to leave. Which Danny balks at. He doesn't want to leave. He still feels like he can have this fame as a magician. He doesn't want to leave his mother. He's worried to just run out on her. Because his father ran out on them when he was younger, and there's a whole backstory there.
Yeah.
So eventually, Duncan convinces him with the help of Amanda. Amanda kind of helps to convince Danny that, look, this is the right thing you need to do. So he resists enough, but finally relents and says, okay, I will do this. He goes to pack his stuff up when his mom throws him a surprise party. Because she found out about his new gig that he got offered in Las Vegas as a headlining act.
Right.
So, and of course, Danny being torn about everything, is like, I have to go out for a little bit, and leaves. And Duncan, meanwhile, goes to Case and tries again to convince him, don't fight him. And they have, I liked that conversation quite a bit between the two of them. Because here's Duncan being like, just bend the rules this one time. You were in the Crusade. You didn't kill everyone in the Crusades. This kid is an innocent. He doesn't know anything yet. And Damon's like, those rules don't apply to us. As immortals, we have a different thing going on. And so Duncan's like, I don't want to fight you, but if you give me no choice, we will. And they fight.
Right.
Duncan wins. Gives him one last chance to change his mind. And Damon's response to that is pretty great. Not in 10 centuries have I done this. And so Duncan takes his head, reluctantly. He is not happy about it. This is actually the first time I can remember in a while that we've had kind of sad Duncan, morose Duncan, after a quickening. It's been a while. And so after the quickening, Duncan goes back to the barge. He's talking to Amanda. He's all bummed out. That was great where she's like, you've been reading the same page there for about a half an hour.
Right.
She convinces him, look, you did what you had to do. Let's go tell Danny what happened. So they head to the circus. They get there and Marco immediately grabs Amanda and is like, hey, you need to come here. Let me talk to you. And so Duncan goes to talk to Danny, and Danny, wants to show him his new trick.
Mm-hmm.
And it deals with a plant in the audience, a partner who comes up, and Danny puts some handcuffs on Duncan and then pulls a sword on him. Because Danny has convinced himself that the only way he's going to survive is to take the head of somebody like McLeod and gain that power and help protect himself, that he can't leave his mother and all of this. Which, I mean, Duncan's having none of that. That's another one of those great moments. But Duncan basically says, look, go to Vegas, do what you're going to do. Case is dead. That's what I came here to tell you. Case isn't a problem anymore, but go off to Vegas, find your 15 minutes of fame. and then he leaves Danny and he leaves the circus and he essentially all but gives up on Danny in a lot of ways.
Right.
And our last bit is Danny in Las Vegas and he's doing well. He's got a new car. He's on a cell phone with his mother, when mm-hmm. he feels an immortal and he tells mom, I have to go. Mom, I love you. And then he turns around and there's an anonymous immortal with sword drawn. We hear the slash of a sword and the flashing lights of a quickening.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. So I think we talk about our special guests.
Yeah, let's.
I merely obey the rules.
I'm asking you to bend them this once.
Not in 10 centuries. Not now.
So our special guest this week, Amanda's back. And
yes.
And she's great. I mean, it's always great to have Amanda mm-hmm. around. I liked how, once again, we don't have to have a side character like Amanda or Mythos or somebody who like, the episode doesn't have to focus on them.
Right.
It gives this feeling of just like, no, they're just part of the crew kind of coming in and coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. The first couple of seasons, it was like, if it wasn't Duncan, Tessa, or Richie, the episode revolved around that person.
Right.
And they sort of moved it to a little bit of an ensemble feel here with, like, Dawson's in, but he's sometimes out. Richie's been in and out. You bring mm-hmm. in Mythos. You bring in, you know, Amanda's another one. And I like that. I really do, because
mm-hmm.
we talk all the time about Amanda and Duncan and their relationship and also the chemistry between Adrian Paul and Elizabeth Grayson.
Yeah.
So it's super fun. And I liked how they had a subplot with her, you know, debating going back to the circus or not.
Mm-hmm.
And how, like, that's the thing she's thinking about going back to. She's not thinking about going back right. to thievery or anything like that. It's the circus. I thought that was pretty cool.
And just the dichotomy between how much she enjoys it and how much Duncan doesn't. Like, she's like, you could get to do all this stuff and go everywhere. It's like, yeah, you get to go everywhere and live out of a suitcase. Wonderful.
Yep. But yeah, I mean, Elizabeth Grayson is always great as Amanda.
Mm-hmm.
And not only did they have that subplot with the circus stuff, but then she's there to kind of be the counterbalance to Duncan wanting to protect and take care of this kid, this innocent right. kid. And Amanda's like, yeah, but it's his life. He needs to make his decisions. And so it's a little bit of the, you know, devil and angel on the shoulders, but it's the two mm-hmm. main characters. Amanda's not so much like, I don't care about Danny, as much as it's, she just understands that these are Danny's choices to make.
Right.
So I thought that was kind of interesting too, because she, and yet when Danny comes to her and is like, yeah, McLeod wants me to leave town, change my identity and all that. And her response is, well, my first question, if I were you, would be, what's my new name?
Right.
So she totally gets where Duncan's coming from.
Right. And it's interesting, too, that, of course, Amanda's going to have that attitude of it's his choice, because she's so much more of an independent person
mm-hmm.
than Duncan is. Duncan yes. always has people around him in some way, shape, or form. Whoever it is, whoever the side character is, there's somebody there with him. There's some sort of quote-unquote family he's around with
yep.
somehow. And she's someone who, for the most part, doesn't have that and is fine with that. Like she, mm-hmm. that's the life she leads. So it's that interesting perspective of Duncan seeing it from this side of, you need to surround yourself with people and train and do this. And Amanda's like, well, yeah, but he gets to make that choice
yeah.
whether or not he wants to do that.
Yep. She is a far more independent person and Duncan mm-hmm. than Duncan. So it makes for a good sounding board for him.
Yeah.
And I really like that. Danny Chimoli is played by Crispin Bonham Carter. And quick trivia bit on that. He is a distant relative of Helena Bonham Carter. There's something like third cousins. I think he's like a third okay. cousin once or twice removed or something.
Definitely using that name, though, isn't he?
Yeah, it kind of makes me think of like Bonham Carter in England might be like a Coppola in the U.S.
Yeah.
in Hollywood. And mm-hmm. kind of using that name. Hard to say, but I thought actually he was pretty good. I remembered him being cringier yeah. than this, but it worked. He played he played this character great, because here he is as a brand new immortal and he had no direction. It's not like he had a life mm-hmm. and he lost, he's now losing that life. He feels like he's right. gaining so much more from it.
Right.
In part because he doesn't understand it, but also because like it's giving him the in for the type of work that he wants to do.
Mm-hmm. I also wonder how much on this side of watching it, it's so much more relatable to see a guy who's just struggling to get his life going. And at this point in my life, it's like, oh, I get that entirely. I know that feeling. I know that feeling of sitting in the chair of my mom getting on me to like, what are you going to do with your life kind of thing?
Yeah, that one, that hits pretty close to home. I'm not going to lie.
And he acts great. Like, that's the thing. Like, he acts extremely well with it. Like, he really embodies that young, I want to do this. It's not working, but I want to do it.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Absolutely.
And not cheesy at all.
No. And he's got a great energy about him, and he's so excited mm-hmm. when he first figures it out and he's first doing his act, he's so excited for it. And then mm-hmm. this idea that he's not worried about losing his head. He's not worried about the fact that, oh, okay, so there is a way for me to die. It's that he doesn't have it in him to kill someone else.
Right.
And he doesn't want to leave his mother. And like, he doesn't want to leave what he has. It's mm-hmm. not that he has to leave it. It's that he doesn't want to, regardless right. of what the consequences of that could be.
Mm-hmm. And that extra nugget about his dad
mm-hmm.
just makes his character that much more relatable, and you understand just his feelings on the whole thing. It's like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Y'all did good this time, writers, and he did a good job acting it.
I will say, though, it is kind of funny that they're in Paris, and it's a little Italian lady who has an English son.
Right.
I did find that humorous. However, yeah. in the mythology of Highlander and the Immortals, it kind of makes sense because most of them are adopted, even if they don't mm-hmm. come right out and say it. And so that right. might have just sort of been like a shorthand way to be like, oh, yeah, by the way, he like, to inform people that are in on the lore that, yes, he is adopted. But I just thought it was hilarious that she's a little and very Italian mother, and he is very much not an Italian son mm-hmm. at all. That made me chuckle.
Well, especially when she gets upset, then the Italian gets cranked to 11.
Like, yes.
Whoa.
Or when she's like any sort of excitement, right? When she sees Duncan and she's like, now, Mr. McLeod, the next time you're here, you stay for dinner. And remember, I don't take no for an answer. Like, she's going to feed everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I also like tacking on that little bit at the end of him in Las Vegas, because yeah. they could have just had him go off to Las Vegas and then we're left wondering whatever happened to him because he never shows up again. It mm-hmm. makes sense to do it this way. Like, no, he made the choice that he's not going to learn how to fight. He's just going to go and he's going to have his name out there. And it bit him in the butt right away. It didn't yeah. last long. And I kind of liked that.
Mm-hmm.
It just put a whole little bow on his story.
Yeah. Also makes me think, like, anytime somebody is out there and they use the word immortal, does some immortal show up trying to figure it out? Like, let me go to this show.
I mean,
I'm not feeling the tingle. Guess he's not one of us.
Yep. Mm. Look, there's an easy way for them to know.
Mm-hmm.
For a $15 ticket, you know one way or the other. So. Right.
I also, again, enjoyed seeing a fresh immortal respond to the tingle the way he did. Like, mm-hmm. again, we're seeing it. It's like, he explains it as like a headache.
Yep.
And, you know, Duncan and Amanda are like, yeah, we get it too. You get used to it. But in this episode, every time it happens, he, you know, holds his head a little bit. And it's just like, it's interesting that they stick to that and carry that out well.
Yeah, they definitely would occasionally have some fun with that. My favorite, my two favorite versions of it ever are Mikey by mm-hmm. Pruitt Taylor Vince, because this the way like you can tell it almost physically hurts him.
Right.
And then the guy that would sneeze every time it would happen. Like it was an allergic reaction. That one just always made me laugh. Because they did the gag, but then they made fun of the gag where he's like, it would happen. He's like, ah, every time. So it was such a that was such a good one.
It's like he's the one dang immortal who's allergic to his immortality.
It's so good. It's so dumb and so good. We also had Simon Coons as Damon Case. I liked Damon Case. And, and my if you're playing the at-home Let's Watch Highlander drinking game, take a drink because I'm going to complain that I want more of him.
Yeah.
But it was cool to have, like, he's an antagonist. He's absolutely the antagonist. But a different way to make him not evil. He's not evil. He's a little misguided, but he has a purpose and a reverence. I love that line from Duncan where he's like, look, he wasn't, I didn't go back because he wasn't evil. There's a reverence to what he does. I don't agree with it, but I understand it. Like, this guy just has spent his whole life, 1,000 years, feeling that the fight of immortals is important, and it's his job to just go and take out immortals, regardless, and that the laws of humans don't necessarily agree to it. It's a very religious thing for him, and he feels as though he is being sent by God to do this.
And yeah.
I found that interesting because it's a different way to go about it. Without him, he wasn't a fanatic. He was just, he was very focused on what he did. But he didn't, it didn't feel as though, like, he wasn't indiscriminate about it. It wasn't like, you're an immortal, I will kill you. It is, he would find one and he would go after them. And then he would stay on that until he moved on to the next one. Because in the flashbacks, it was sort of a similar thing. He kind of wandered into town. He found the this guy, Jean-Philippe, and challenged him, but didn't quite at first. It was just interesting. It was an interesting character. I mean,
he,
I guess I should say he is a fanatic, but he wasn't like a frothing at the mouth fanatic. Like, he wasn't crazy, like, I must find all immortals and hunt them down. But he's like, immortals, we fight. That's what we do. That's what I'm here to do. I take no pleasure in it, but I am compelled to do so.
Yeah, it's just, I'm really conflicted about this character in the present day that we live in, dealing with religion the way we're having to deal with it. You know, both as someone who's a religious person and dealing with church stuff, and that's a whole other thing we could get into, but also, like, just the way that religion has gotten into our politics in this country and stuff, and all of that. It just, it I kind of felt that taste of, he's religious, but he never lets go of that and never backs off from that. And it's like, okay, yeah, he's religious, but he's kind of pushing it because that's what he thinks his religion tells him. But, you know, unless there's some sacred immortal text, he's just assuming this is what he should be doing.
Well, he's
so I don't
of
want to give him complete amnesty on the fact that he just kills people because they need to be killed.
But think about it from the context of he is from the Crusades. So he grew up, he was born into, and his longest lasting memories are of a holy crusade, and then he became immortal during that. And if he became immortal during the Crusades, and that just got distilled down even more. And so he's essentially shifted from, I'm on the Holy Crusade to the Holy Land and doing that kind of thing, to the same idea, but now with immortals. And he hasn't been able to let go of that. And so that's where it's like, he's not evil, but he's misguided and supremely focused on that one thing and can't let that go. It's kind of how I read it.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I understand that, but there, I think there's definitely a perspective to be said that the way he handles it is evil. He doesn't think he's evil in the way he's doing it, but just not letting up at all, not giving anybody a chance, especially someone who's just newly immortal and has no idea. Like Duncan says it, Danny's a child.
Yeah.
When it comes to immortality, like, would you attack a child who's just born, kind of thing? And Amanda kind of scoffed at it, but is like, yeah, Duncan's got a point here. And
Well, so. And Duncan does play to his, you know, when he mentions in their final conflict about the Crusades and how he didn't, you know, he asks him, did you just kill every single person you came across, innocent or otherwise? And he said, no, I didn't. Right. But he goes, but for us, it's different. And that's where the misguided part of it comes in. That's where,
mm-hmm.
like, if it was a thing where he's just like, no, I just got to, anybody that gets in my way, because he's not lusting for power. He's not lusting for, like, anything like that. He's just, like, has this misguided approach that immortals must fight, regardless of how new right. they are. And he wouldn't go after an innocent human, but he doesn't view any immortals as innocent.
Right.
So that's where I can understand where Duncan's like, okay, so he's not really evil, but he's misguided. And that's why Duncan does take his head. He right. didn't the last time, because it could be argued that Jean-Philippe set that up and did as much to kind of put himself in that position as anything right. else, which we'll talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, Damon Case was not going to let up. And
right.
Duncan was finally like, all right, we'll just deal with this. So,
mm-hmm.
but it's good. It makes for a good, I think it makes for a compelling character.
For sure. Yeah. Did you check out Simon Kuhn's IMDb at all?
I did not.
So the first thing I saw was he was in Captain America, the First Avenger. I was like, huh?
Oh, okay.
He's the doctor that rejects Steve.
Oh. Like
in that big scene at the beginning of the movie.
Okay.
I'm doing you a favor, kid. Stamp.
Nice.
And as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, yeah, that's him. Okay.
All right. I had no idea. Well, that's cool. I think it was good work by our special guests this week.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, Amanda's great. And I think that both Crispin and Simon, as their respective characters, were really solid.
For sure. I mean, that's why I was so conflicted about Damon Case, is just how well Simon Kuhn's really portrayed that character and that feeling of his reverence toward his duty for what he should be doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So good special guest. But now,
mm-hmm.
time to talk flashbacks.
All right.
McLeod wants me to get out of town. Change my identity. Everything.
Well, you know, if I were you, I think I would have one question. What's my new name?
So our flashbacks take place in England in 1795. There's two of them in this time around. We're kind of back mm-hmm. to that standard formula a little bit. So yeah.
Episode anyways.
Yeah. Duncan is practicing sword work with a young headstrong immortal by the name of Jean-Philippe.
Mm-hmm.
And Jean-Philippe decides, all right, I'm done. I've had enough. I'm going to go hang out with the women. Duncan protests against it, trying to explain to him that he still has much to teach him. But Jean-Philippe is like, I don't care. I'm off. And he goes to the pub.
Right.
And he's there just drinking, being loud, talking to a couple women. And a man nearby kind of makes some snide comments. So they end up in a sword fight in the middle of the pub, which
mm-hmm.
I thought was pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
While that's going on, an immortal walks in the room. It's Damon Case.
Right.
After Jean-Philippe wins his little skirmish rather easily, because we need to set up that he is a very good swordsman. They've mentioned it already, but we need to see it. He then goes to talk to Damon, and they have just a little kind of back and forth. I liked how that went, because here's Jean-Philippe like, well, all right, you want to fight? Let's fight. And Damon's like, not today.
Yeah.
Not today, but we'll talk again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how that ends. The next day, though, in our second flashback, we see Jean-Philippe, and he's got a couple mugs, and he's offering Damon a drink as he's
eating
his
food. That was hilarious. I love that. Just him taking the two tigers over there like, all right, dude, let's have a little chat. We going to fight? You ready to fight?
Yeah, and Case refuses, says he doesn't drink, and you know, he's very chaste, right? He doesn't drink, he doesn't mm-hmm. curse, all this kind of stuff. And then he does say, when I love how Jean-Philippe is like, so what is it that you do? I fight. And today is a new day. So they get up and leave. because their fight is not for, you know, glory or publicity.
Right.
Just after they leave, Mac arrives looking for Jean-Philippe. And the girls let him know, nope, he left with the quiet one. Something about they need to go fight in private or whatever. And Duncan's like, yeah. And he goes outside and he gets onto his horse. And just before he's about to head off, flashes of light and a quickening. And yep. He goes and he finds Jean-Philippe's headless body.
Mm-hmm.
So he puts him on his horse. He's taking him back when he feels an immortal. And inside, I guess an abbey, it looks like, or a church on some holy ground, He finds Damon Case. And apparently he knows him because he says his name as soon as he walks in.
Yeah.
So they had some kind of a history from before that. Duncan is, of course, very upset. And he challenges Case to a fight, which Case is like, not today. I will fight you tomorrow if you come back. But tonight, I must pray for the soul of the person that I just fought. And for my salvation or my deliver. What was it? The protection that I received. The fact that I survived. And that's where Duncan's like, okay, so he's not evil. Because at this point, I mean, Jean-Philippe was very headstrong and very brash.
Right.
So Duncan's sort of taking that into account, which is why, as upset as he is, he doesn't go back and fight him the next day.
Right.
Not very long in terms of flashbacks, but I thought that they delivered a good amount of story.
Oh, yeah.
Especially that second one.
I mean, that gives us that, you know, really gives us a look into Damon Case and what he's all about. More than anything, like, this is the first time we really see who he is in this episode and what he's about. And Duncan's just ticked off because his friend got killed.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, well, you're not somebody, you're not like Mr. Bad Guy. Why you gotta be Mr. Not So Bad Guy? Let's go fight, you know? And then when Duncan explains he didn't go back, you know, you understand. It's like, of course, Duncan went back and thought, well, my friend was not as prepared as he probably could have been, like I told him.
Yep.
He was a hothead. I knew that. And this other guy was not just after him just to, you know, be an evil killing machine. He wasn't ready to just fight me right there and, you know, take another head. It's like, okay, well, okay.
And, so, you know, there was, as Duncan said, there was a certain reverence to what Damon did at that point.
Yeah.
And the fact that he was like, look, we're here to fight as immortals. This happened. Now I am going to pray over this person whose life I took. So it's sort of this weird, like, there's just this kind of odd thing where Duncan's like, all right, I sort of get it. And you're not going to make an issue.
The best, though, the best was Damon going, would you like to pray with me for your friend's soul?
Yeah.
And he's earnest about it. And Duncan's like, pray for your own soul.
Yeah. Oh, that
just
was
pissed
that
off.
That was great. Yep. Because he's not. And the best part about that is Damon isn't saying that to Duncan to get a rise out of him. He's not taunting him with it. He's genuinely asking if that's what he wants to do.
Right.
While also saying, we can do all this. And then if you still want to fight tomorrow morning, fine, we can go fight.
Mm-hmm. Like, and again, that is on the shoulders of Simon Coons and the way he is portraying this character and acting so well. Like, the way he does it, you can tell he earnestly is like, yes, I killed this man, but I still care about his soul.
Yep. And then, sure, I guess we can fight after that if you feel strongly enough
about right.
So, yeah, I liked the flashbacks for the amount of story they were able to put in and the sort of the character background that they gave us prior, you know, in a short amount of time. They didn't overdo the flashbacks. It was a nice balance between those and kind of present day stuff.
Also interesting that they gave us kind of something kind of like we're dealing with present day, but not the same, because Jean-Philippe was, you know, a very good fighter apparently to begin with before becoming an immortal, and Duncan's just trying to teach him to make him better so that he can survive.
Yeah.
Whereas with Danny, it's like he ain't got no training.
Yep. And because Danny is the more innocent one in the present day, Duncan does return the second time.
Right.
And say, all right, Case, fine, let's do this. Reluctant though he may be, he still will follow through with that because he, in the end, Duncan is going to protect innocent people. It's just what he does.
Right.
So yeah, it was good. Good work. Plus that, that church that he goes into to find Damon. We've seen that set a few times. That's where the hunters had fits, if you remember. And I think Luther was in there in one episode. Like they've used that set a few times in different incarnations. So that was kind of cool to see. But yeah, it was good stuff.
Yeah.
Houdini was a friend of mine, and you, Danny, know Houdini.
Please, just make it quick.
Get up.
Oh, still no Richie and no Joe this week.
Yeah.
Well, they'll be back. We know they'll be back.
Oh, yeah.
We know that because they're in the opening credits of every episode.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But they weren't in this episode. Our final fight is between Case and McLeod.
Right.
And it's quick. It's a very it's a very fast fight. It's very simply choreographed. There's not a lot of like extra stuff going on. Which I kind of liked because it's sort of fit, right? Damon Case is like efficient. If you notice, I mean, throughout this entire episode, he never, his emotions never run high. He's very even and measured, and his fighting style was the same way. And Duncan is there to just get stuff done. And so there's very little like flourish and fanfare. It's very quick. But boy, did they go all out for that quickening.
Yeah, they did.
They utilized that space. I don't know if that was like a, ooh, we've got this special, this cool space. Cause it was like this circular dirt thing. So they put pyro in the dirt.
Right.
And they really went for it. And I thought it was cool looking. Like it was a great.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I wonder if it's one of those things, like we found a cool set we can use for some fight and here's what we're going to do for the quickening, you know, kind of thing. And it fits well with this one.
Yeah. And I did like how that fight happens and it's very quick. And then we get that second sort of battle of wits with Danny and Duncan. And that was nice because you got Danny who, again, he thinks he's pulling a fast one on Duncan and he thinks this is his only way out. And I love Duncan's reaction to it because here he is handcuffed, hands behind his back. Chimoli pulls a sword on him, explains to him, you know, look, this is the only way. Maybe with the power, you know, taking your head, I'll be able to survive. Takes a swing at him. Duncan just sort of sidesteps, trips him, and then boom, sword right to his neck. His other hand with the handcuffs dangling. And I love the line. Look, I was friends with Houdini, and you're no Houdini.
Right. That was great.
It was so
good.
Oh
my gosh.
And then
it's one of those things because you forget how much into the circus Duncan has been in the past. Yep. Like, just because he isn't crazy about it right now doesn't mean he hasn't been in that life, which he's talked about with Amanda. And so he's just like, kid, you don't know who you're messing with.
This is 400 years of experience here, boy. So that was kind of cool. Overall, I mean, this is a good episode.
Yeah.
I liked the questions and things that it posed about immortality. And some of the stuff that they dove into as far as like innocence and becoming a new immortal and what you need to learn and how you're going to deal with that.
Right.
And I liked Duncan's version of, I need to teach this guy because he's innocent. He doesn't know anything and he needs a teacher. But Duncan has proven himself to be a bad teacher. Plus, who knows how much of this episode or this, you know, this need that Duncan has to teach somebody is sort of also dealing with a bit of his guilt over Richie.
Yeah.
And how things ended with Richie, and he doesn't want to do that again, but he just doesn't know how to. So all he can do is push hard.
Yeah.
And then you've got Amanda there being like, yes, you need to take care of him. Yes. He's, you know, he's innocent and all that, but he also needs to make his own decisions.
Right.
So I kind of liked that. And like, that stuff, and then sort of the idea of somebody who just views immortals and humans differently, but not that immortals are better than humans, just that they're there to fight. And you know, the whole thing with Damon Case. I liked all that kind of stuff. It's another one of those where it's like you could have, we could always use more, right? You could always, it brings about some, because the characterizations and because the performances are good enough, you just want to dive into it more. You want to give it more time to kind of flesh out and grow.
Especially since Duncan seemed to know him before even Jean-Philippe. Yeah. Like, how did they meet? How did they get to know each other? How does Duncan know him so well to know that, like, he's not an evil person, even though he's killed these people that, you know, or killed Jean-Philippe, who Duncan was close with at the time? Like, where did that come from? And, like, how is, like, Duncan has to know him well enough at this point that's one of the reasons he walked away. He knew he was. It wasn't just some random immortal who happened to convince Duncan. It's like, I know who he is. I know why how he ticks. And that's why I didn't come back for him the next day after Jean-Philippe.
Yeah.
So that, and Danny too. Like, this is the first time we've seen a really innocent immortal who doesn't want to be in the game at all. Has no wanting to be in the game. Doesn't care about the game. All he cares about is the benefits to him. And, you know, yep. Which in the end kind of shows us his character.
It does.
Not being that great of one, mm-hmm. and how it bites him in the butt.
Well, it's interesting because we mentioned Mikey earlier from The Innocent. And mm-hmm. Mikey would be the only other immortal that we can really point to that had, like, no interest in being in the game and no interest in the affairs of immortals. In Mikey's case, he didn't understand any of it.
Right.
And so he was truly innocent. He had, mm-hmm. he was truly like a child, regardless right. of how long he had been an immortal, because he couldn't really take care of himself.
I was about to say, yeah. Not only did he not understand it, he could not understand it. Mm-hmm. Like he understood just enough of what was going on, but he could not understand enough to be in the game as other immortals are.
Yeah, because he was never, that character was never going to be able to understand the why of what was going on mm-hmm. in order to wrap his head around it. Even if you could, he sort of figured out the nuts and bolts and like mm-hmm. that he was going to be hunted, but he was never going to understand the why of it. Whereas Danny definitely does and can, and kind of goes in a different direction. He's much more selfish.
Right.
And proves that out at the end.
Right, because all he cares about is how much this is helping him in his life and his career.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And doesn't see anything past that. And doesn't want to see anything past that.
No, and you know, maybe had he been able to survive longer, he may have learned that. He could have had some growth, mm-hmm. but we don't get that. Instead, we get his story tied up in a neat little bow.
Yep.
And of course, Amanda. Amanda's there, and it's always great. And there was a great little moment right at the end because Amanda got offered an offer she couldn't refuse to go back to the circus. And she's bringing McCloud along with her. And that was such a fun little ending where they're at the Moscow circus doing the knife routine. And to end on the freeze frame of Duncan throwing the knife at her. And I love that. He's like, it's been years since I've thrown knives. And she's like, it's okay. I'll heal.
Yeah. And part of me was just like, okay, so Duncan went with Amanda. So Duncan's still in a place where he's really needing some companionship of some sort. And
yep.
Amanda's there, so let's go with Amanda.
Yeah. He's kind of, after the events of the Dark Quickening, he's been a little bit lost. And he had what was her name? McLeod, Rachel.
Yeah.
Rachel McLeod for a little bit, but she wasn't mm-hmm. going to be able to do it long term, and she needed to go back to Scotland. And Amanda's here, and it's almost like he doesn't want to be alone.
Right.
And so rather than, even though he had said several times during the episode, you know, oh, if you're going to go to Moscow, that's cool. I'll be here when you get back. But Amanda, I think Amanda knew. Like, Amanda could tell he can't be alone right now.
Right.
And so she kind of drags him back into the circus.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure we'll see next episode just how long that lasts, but still.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Plus,
it's,
I think
that, like, yeah.
It was interesting to see Duncan try to teach someone again. And the fact that, you know, he understands the how, but maybe not always the why.
Right.
Of what needs to be taught.
Like you said, after the Dark Quickening thing, and with Richie, he's just like, you got to be ready for anything, you know, and he's trying to push that on Danny, and that's not working.
Yeah.
On top of Danny being super selfish.
Yep. So it's definitely, this is, again, another solid episode. The mm-hmm. season four has been really good start to finish. There's very little
right.
skip worthy in season four.
Mm-hmm.
And that keeps bearing itself out. Now, next week's episode, 18, is Through a Glass Darkly. And I remember bits and pieces of this. I know, for one, our special guest star is going to be somebody that I definitely want to talk about.
Ooh.
I won't say who that is, but you'll want to come back and check that out. That'll be next week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you enjoy this show and you want to see us record it live, you can do that. You can see our faces and you can listen to us record each bit and a little bit of banter in between them and hang out in our chat room like Amy or Ace. You can do that Tuesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern time at twitch.tv/TVsTravis. Hang out with Audie and I. We love to see you in there. And of course, we'll always talk anything Immortals or otherwise on Twitter. I'm on Twitter at TVsTravis, TVsTravis. Mm-hmm. And Audie, you are on Twitter as?
The Audie Norman. I changed it up.
You did. So. Messing with everybody.
Yep. Sorry, folks. I decided to streamline all my online presences, and that was the best one that fit, that everything had an option for. So, for those of you who don't know, a nickname for Audrey is Audie. And so a lot of different versions that I wanted to use were taken. So,
but look at it this way. Now you don't have to tell everybody that your Twitter handle is oddly normal one with the one spelled out.
Yeah. And then my Instagram is Audie_Norman. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
So that's good. But yes, the Audie Norman. And if you were already following him, nothing changed. So that's good.
Yeah.
And of course, you post art every week of the mm-hmm. different weapons. I liked this one this week because I thought that sword was really cool.
Yeah.
And
Case had a cool sword.
Yeah.
Simple, but
it was simple, but it also doubled as religious iconography for him too, with the way mm-hmm. he would pull that sword out and hold it in front of him like a cross.
Right.
Like a, you know, almost like he was a priest, mm-hmm. sort of blessing the fight in a way.
Yeah, which sounds pretty much
to say, but like the way he would do that, again, there was a reverence to everything that he did.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought that was cool. And I thought that you captured it well, as always. You did a great job.
Thank you. With
it. So yeah, so next week is episode 18, Through a Glass Darkly. This is going to be a fun one because I really, again, I love the special guest star that we're going to have. So
nice.
Can't wait for that. Until then, remember that there can be only one Immortal Chimera.
Until not.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.